4, verses 5 through 12, and can be found on page 121 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Acts 4, 5 through 12. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoner stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if you are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The second scripture comes from the Gospel lesson, John 10, verses 11 through 18, page 103 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. John 10, 11 through 18. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, if you look on the sign out there, it doesn't tell you the title of the scripture. It says Jesus saves. Well, that's relevant any day. But the theme today from the 23rd Psalm, throughout each of the songs that we've sung, and through the readings, is whom? The Good Shepherd. Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people that knew exactly what he was speaking about. Anytime he talked about animal husbandry or sheep herding, as you might call it, any of those two phrases. And if you're like me, when you were growing up, I want you to think way back to that time when you weren't able to fall asleep immediately, long before they had all of the pharmacological things that they can give kids and people to help us go to sleep. If you, like me, would count sheep. You know, we had those pictures of these fluffy little sheep in the pages of books that we could read or that our parents could read to us while we were getting ready for bed. And as we've said our evening prayer, and "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And you guys could finish the rest of it. But the image of the sheep, these white, fluffy, clean, very lovely images of these sheep jumping over the fence would be calming. And before you hit 1,000 or so sheep, you'd fall asleep, right? Well, dose of reality. Are sheep clean and fluffy? Are sheep docile and intelligent and just so happily jumping over a fence? Well, what are sheep really like? Stubborn, obstinate, dirty. And along with the dirt comes what? They stink. Well, here's the analogy that Jesus was making. It's not the analogy that we have, you know, as we're getting ready to prepare ourselves for sleep and our parents tell us this lovely tale and we watch the clean and fluffy sheep jump over as we fall asleep as we count them. Jesus was talking to them about them. How we, like sheep, are dependent upon God to keep us safe, dependent upon God's forgiveness and grace, because there's not a single one of us that is downy soft and fluffy and clean and perfect on our own. We are dirty and we stink. We, the stench of sin is on us if all we do is look to ourselves. And the reason I'm saying this, it's a message that makes us look at ourselves. But the beauty is, if you look at yourselves and the reality of it, you are those sheep. You're unruly. You lack discipline. You don't decide to go the right place. You don't know where to go. We go anywhere we're not supposed to go, even if it's off a cliff. How many of you have made a few decisions that weren't the best ones in your lives? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But something else I want you to realize. Jesus knows that. He knew it then. He knows it now. And in spite of that, he goes to the cross for you and for me. Now, we celebrated Easter, and this is Easter tide leading up to Pentecost. And this is a time when we celebrate what it is that Jesus has done for us. But in order to do that, we have to recognize who paid the price. We have to recognize with reality who we would be without Christ. What we would be. We would be those dirty sheep, lost and alone. The Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, in whose name all these people were healed in the Acts reading, was in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Caiaphas and Ananias and all of the other leaders of the temple had crucified. In his name, those people were healed. And in faith and hope of the power of the resurrection, the resurrected Christ, they were able to do those things. Well, what we have in the Gospel of John, Jesus is telling them, and he's telling you, and even you, Bob. No, sir. That he's the Good Shepherd. And that he loves each and every one of us. And he came with a purpose. And that purpose was to keep us safe. Not that we're going to be perfect, Bob. In spite of what Bob might say. We're not perfect. But we're forgiven. Because, you know, we're not fluffy, white, lovely sheep that dance happily into those dreams. We're just common, ordinary people who fall short of the grace and glory that God has intended for us, just like Adam and Eve. We fall short of where it is that God wants us to go. We fall short of who God wants us to be if we lean only upon our own capabilities, our own thoughts. Everybody's going to groan because I'm going to start on the scripture now. I want you to open your Bibles and I want you to turn to John chapter 10 and what was the page? What? 103. Because I don't want you to read John 10, verse 10. Because in the scripture he talks about a thief and how he's the good shepherd and what the thief does and what the good shepherd does. Verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Period. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's the statement that each and every one of us can look at and see. God came not that we might have just life, just existence, but that we have life and have it abundantly. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah is what I'd say to that. Because it is praise to God. That's why Jesus came. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. All right. You guys have known me for about 4 years, give or take a few days. And some have known me for a lot longer. But let me ask you something, and I want to ask it to you earnestly and honestly. Counts for the choir, too. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you have absolute faith in Him as being your Savior and rescuer and constant companion, even when we are like that prodigal son running away on our own devices and plan? And yet, Jesus says, I know my own and my own know me. Do you know Jesus? I hope and pray that you do. I gave you a scripture a couple of weeks ago from Romans. And in it, what did we say? John, Romans 10, verse 9. Confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah! You then are saved. But He's not done with you yet. You have a life to live. He has things for you to do. He has a transformation that He wants to work in your life because He's not concerned just about one sheep. He's concerned about the entire flock. And each and every one of us is going to encounter someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ, who can't or won't say what we just did. And it is for those people, as much as us, that Jesus wants us to go and share. Because in verse 16, He says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. That is Jesus' purpose. And none of us is better than the rest. Oh, I was baptized as an infant. Does that make me any better than someone who was baptized when they were 65? Nope. D- Does that make me better than the thief on the cross? Nope. Because the same three emphatic words are as relevant for each and every one of us when we come to know Jesus and when we can get to that place where we can proclaim that He is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him up. The same three words hammered home one day, whether it was a Friday or a Thursday, Scripture tells us it's a Friday, when Jesus Himself took our debt of sin and suffered and died for it. And the price tag, the tabulation, the invoice for our everlasting life, for our abundant life, is marked and stamped with paid in full. Say that again. Paid in full. By whom? Jesus. For whom? For me. Can I get an amen? Now, the following words, and I want you to hear it clearly and correctly, and I don't want you to do it until after the benediction and after the last singing is done, but I want you to get the flock out of here.